Who here has ever been lost? Anybody? Who here has lost a child? Anybody want to admit that? Well, as some of you know, I used to be a youth leader at St. Michael Lutheran. It's southwest side of Fort Wayne. And I was there for 10 years, and I was always in charge of VBS. And so we usually had around 250 to 300 kids. And one particular, and we had never lost a kid until my last year there. We had lost a kid. The teachers of that class couldn't find him. I couldn't find her. It was a girl. Hint. And we couldn't find her anywhere. People were out in the parking lot looking. People were starting to freak out. I was starting to freak out. And then I went into my office there at the church, and underneath my desk, with a stolen cup of pudding from the snack table, my daughter Glory was eating, had pudding all over the floor, all over herself. And to be honest with you, at that moment, I was a little proud of her. She had 100 people looking for her, and she had stolen a snack pudding cup and was hiding in my office. But you've all had that feeling probably of you couldn't find somebody and it just kind of freaked you out a little bit. And so we're going to talk today in the text about the first question that comes up in the Bible. Where are you? And this is a familiar one, and Megan referenced it in the children's message, from Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned. And so that's where we are going to pick up this event in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve have sinned. We're going to pick it up in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 3. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." I'm going to stop right there. So let's just get something settled right here. You know, there's always a debate between women and men, right? Who sinned first? Eve sinned first, right, men? It's best to not go there. You are correct. But if you notice from the event here, God called out for who? For Adam. You see, God is a God of order. He created man first. It's just the way he did it. And he gave man dominion over that garden and all the animals and beasts. And then he couldn't find a helper suitable for him, so God gave Adam Eve, the woman. And so if Adam had been doing his husbandly duties, he would have told Eve not to eat the fruit. So to be honest, they were 50-50. There you go, men and women. It was both their faults. They both sinned. And so the fact that they hid themselves is what we read here in Genesis 3. They hid themselves and hid themselves with fig leaves. The fact that they did that is not only comical to me, but disturbing also. It's disturbing because there is now separation between God and them. Between God and Adam and Eve, there is now a separation. You know, we can't, because of our sin, we can't stand in the presence of God. Can't do it. We are sinful. He is holy. And now there's this separation. They were literally in perfect unity with God, Adam and Eve were, before the sin. Literally, everything was perfect. Can you imagine? The only thing for them to do now was to try to hide from their sin. And so here's why it's comical to me. They thought that they could hide from God. God is not somebody you want to play hide and seek with. Right? He knows everything. And so here's just a couple passages for you to look at. Psalm 139. We actually read this a few weeks ago. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. That's Psalm 139. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so to put it simply, God knows, sees, and hears everything we do. What do you think about that statement? It's comforting, right? But it's also a little bit convicting, isn't it? And a little bit uncomfortable. You see, Adam and Eve were hiding because they had disobeyed God and they knew it. They were ashamed and afraid of the punishment that they were going to receive because they had sinned. But God seeks them out. And he asks them that first question, where are you? And so this is obviously a rhetorical question. God knew exactly where they were. They couldn't hide. We can't hide. And so this question that God asks them, where are you, is really a call to repentance. And you know, God also seeks us out. He seeks you out with this question. So I ask you, where are you? Are you inside the circle with Jesus or outside with the Pharisees? We talked about them last week, the Pharisees who like to make everything about themselves. And when they struggled with the law, they just made other laws so that they could feel better about themselves. And we are guilty of that at times too. Do you wear a Christian mask when you come to church on Sunday? A Christian mask of fig leaves, so to speak. And then the rest of the week, Monday through Saturday, you put on a different mask, fig of leaves. Do you truly fear and love God and put him number one? Or have other things taken that number one spot? Kids, family, job, sports, paycheck, house. You know, as I read those questions, I wrote these down. When I read them, I'm convicted. I know I screw up on these time and time again. Are you convicted when you're confronted? You see, when we are confronted with our own sin, sometimes it can make us really uncomfortable. And we can try to hide from God, just like Adam and Eve tried. See, when Adam and Eve were confronted with this question, where are you? They went from playing hide and seek with God to a different game. Did you notice it in Genesis chapter 3? They went to playing the blame game. God confronts them and God asks them some more rhetorical questions because he already knew the answers to them. And he asks Adam first. And what does Adam do? He blames God. Hey, you're the one that gave me this woman. If it wouldn't have been for that, I wouldn't have sinned. And then he goes to Eve and asks Eve, and what does Eve do? Eve blames the serpent. Neither one of them take any accountability for what they had done. Where are you? So how often are you tempted to play the game, the blame game, when you are confronted with your sin? How often have you done this when you are busted, so to speak? God, it really wasn't my fault. Everyone else was doing it. I've been a good Christian, better than most. My sin isn't as big a deal as some sins, or that person's sin. You know, you may think you're doing well. You know, we may even go a while without actually committing a sin, a deed. We may go a while without using bad words or talking ill of our neighbor. You know, we could maybe do that for a while. But can you control every single one of your thoughts? You may not say it, but you may be thinking, man, you are an idiot to yourself. You see, in all your thoughts, words, and deeds, every one of them, you are accountable to God. That can be very convicting when we're confronted with that, right? And this is one of those times, you know, when we are convicted by this and when we're confronted with our sins, we're no better than anybody else. We can get the feeling pretty bad, can't we? And here's one of those moments where I like to talk about a big but. But let's go to the next two verses in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Then the Lord God said to the serpent. So this is God talking to Satan. Keep that in mind as I read these. Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity, hostility, between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So what's amazing about these verses? Well, here's what's amazing, is even though Adam and Eve were now separated from God forever, and because of our sin, we are going to die. Because of their sin, they are now going to die. The wages of sin is death. But even though they're now separated from God, God gives them hope. You see, God could have just let them die in their sin, and he could have just been done with it. It's like, nah, I'll just have animals on this world. He could have just let them die in their sin. But not only did God seek Adam and Eve out and us, he did something about it. He is going to send somebody to crush Satan once and for all. That's what that verse there says, the one that's on the screen. I will put enmity between you and the woman. See, he's talking to the serpent. Hostility between you and Eve. Eve's going to give birth all the way up to who? Eventually, Jesus is going to come. And Jesus, between your offspring and her offspring is going to eventually be Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And he will bruise your head. He will crush your head, Satan. You will be done. This is one of the most important verses in the Bible. This is the first gospel verse in the Bible. Genesis 3:15, remember that. One of the most important verses, because God is already giving his people hope. He's giving them good news. Somebody's going to come and crush this dude. And of course, that was going to be Jesus. So I have a picture up here on the screen. How many of you saw the movie that came out in the early 2000s, The Passion of Christ? It was a very vivid portrayal of what happened to Jesus on Good Friday. The very beginning scene of that movie, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. Does anybody remember this? He's praying so intently, and Satan enters the scene, and there's a snake that comes slithering towards Jesus. And Jesus stands up, and what does he do? Stomps his foot down on Satan's head, that serpent's head. That was a reference to Genesis 3:15. And this picture here, when Jesus was nailed to that cross, Satan's head was crushed. This is good news. Because Jesus not only crushed Satan's head, but he defeated sin and death on that cross. It's been taken care of. Satan still wreaks havoc in our world, we know that. But he can only go so far. He's like a dog on a chain. Because Jesus has already defeated him. Jesus is already reigning in heaven on the throne, the Lamb of God. He's taking care of it all for us. So we will continue going on sinning. But that's why it's so important that we continue to repent, confess our sins. Because God has taken care of our iniquities, and he forgives us of our sin. I want to read to you Galatians chapter 4 as I close here this morning. Verses 4 through 7. This is Paul writing now in the New Testament, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. See, God sent his son to be born just like you and I have. He was born under the law just like us, except Jesus kept the law perfectly on our behalf. And going on here, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And this is the good news for us to hear this morning. And because you are sons, he's not just talking about men here. This is men and women. Because back in that time, the sons would get the inheritance of the land. That was the big thing. But now we're all being called sons, which means we are all inheriting what Paul is talking about here. And because you are sons, God has sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And because Jesus died and rose again on the third day, we will rise again and go to be with him in heaven forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have sent the promised offspring to crush Satan's head forever by the death of your son, our Savior, and we thank you for it. And as you gave comfort to Adam and Eve, receiving their confessions for the sake of your grace and promising deliverance from sin and its curse, so comfort us by the forgiveness of sins and give us hope and the promise of eternal life. And Almighty God, no kingdom divided against itself can stand, and a house divided must fall. Graciously preserve our nation with its government. Frustrate the work of Satan and the seeds of destruction he would sow in every place. Unite our leaders and our people for the common good, while leading us to hope in that eternal kingdom, which is not of this world. And eternal Lord, hear our prayers for your servants who suffer in this earthly world, this world. Continue to be with Rod and Ed and those that are battling physical issues or mental issues. Do not let them lose heart, but help them to fix their eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith. And Heavenly Father, we also ask that you continue to comfort the family of Bobby who lost her sister. Watch over them and comfort them with the hope that we have, that they will see her again in heaven. And as Satan once overcame our first parents, Adam and Eve, through the eating of the tree's fruit, so overcome Satan now among us by the fruit of your son's cross, his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Bless all who commune with us here this morning with repentance and faith, that in the comfort of the gospel they may be cleansed and prepared for eternal life with you. And it's in your name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us. Just a reminder for any guests or visitors that we believe that this is truly Jesus' body and blood in with and under this bread and this wine. If that is your confession, you may commune with us. And if not, you just want to come up, this is just totally fine too. You can cross yourself and receive a blessing. And this scripture talks about examining ourselves before we come to his altar. And these questions are just a way for you to do that. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And the peace of Jesus be with you all.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all have gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Your name stands above all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, "Holy," all creation cries. Forever.
past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Your shame's done all it's stealing. You're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you and keep you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart in his peace. And receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen. And as you are being granted peace, do not forget about our joyous joy boxes.
I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have your mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the ocean drains, the other side, 'cause your love never fails. You stay the same.